The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
They're coming through, and many of them are from prisons and jails. There's a slight difference, as you know, prisons and jails. Many are from mental institutions and insane asylums, and many are terrorists, and they're pouring into our country at a level. I don't know if you saw the news today, Tulsi. They had a group of a lot of them, Venezuelan people with lots of machine guns, taking over a building someplace. I'm looking, I'm saying, where is that? They went in and they took over a building. This is just the beginning. They're taking their criminals from all over the world, not just South America, not just Venezuela, which you've been reading about, all over the world. They're taking their criminals and they're dumping them into the United States. Kamala is allowing it to happen. And they actually want to, they want to give them papers. They want to make them citizens and they want to give them your Social Security. They want to give them your Medicare.
During the Biden-Harris administration, there were record numbers of illegal border crossings. Why did the Biden-Harris administration wait 3.5 years to implement sweeping asylum restrictions?
Well, first of all, the root causes work that I did as vice president that I was asked to do by the president has actually resulted in a number of benefits, including historic investments by American businesses in that region. The number of immigrants coming from that region has actually reduced since we began that work. But I will say this, that Joe Biden and I and our administration worked with members of the United States Congress on an immigration issue that is very significant to the American people and to our security, which is the border. And through bipartisan work, including some of the most conservative members of the United States Congress, a bill was crafted, which we supported, which I support. And Donald Trump got word of this bill that would have contributed to securing our border. And because he believes that it would not have helped him politically, he told his folks in Congress, don't put it forward. He killed the bill.
The biggest bubble in American history. It's what the Wall Street Journal's calling the Harris campaign. Quote, who doesn't love soap bubbles, especially those giant ones that seem to get impossibly big? So impressive. But the question is, can they keep it from popping for 2 months? Democrats have one job. Keep the Harris bubble from hitting any hard surfaces. If it does, she pops. And today, that hard surface was CNN. After a month running scared, Kamala did an interview and brought her babysitter. And the media gave her questions ahead of time. A combined list of 38 questions that Kamala might want to rehearse before hitting hard surfaces. The campaign picked the lowest rated cable news channel to do the interview, hours before a holiday weekend and on the same night as the college football season kicks off. They don't want anybody to see what we're about to show you.
When he called you and said he was pulling out of the race, what was that like? And did he offer to endorse you right away or did you ask for it?
It was a Sunday. So here, I'll give you a little too much information.
Go for it. There's no such thing, Madam Vice President.
My family was staying with us and including my baby nieces. And we had just had pancakes and, you know, Auntie, can I have more bacon? Yes, I'll make you more bacon. And then we were gonna sit, we were sitting down to do a puzzle. And the phone rang and it was Joe Biden.
Well, it was worth the wait. 40 days it took her to finally give an interview. She went in, as Jesse noted, she went in with the babysitter. And then told us a little bit about breakfast and lied about the border and lied about flip-flopping. Assured us that, hey, even with the flip-flops over fracking, her values have never changed. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. Hard to believe it's the last show of the week. You can get to the live video stream of this show at trumpetdaily.com or at the Rumble channel, rumble.com/trumpetdaily. If you go to Rumble, give us the thumbs up, please, so that we can up our rating. Also, you can email the show if you'd like to submit some feedback, td@thetrumpet.com. I also should note here, a new Key of David just posted this morning on America Under Attack is prophesied. So we offered AUA on TV back in July, just soon after the assassination attempt on President Trump's life. Here comes another one, and it's powerful. A powerful program. We might even try to repeat some of it next week on this show. But for now, make sure that you go to the website, thetrumpet.com, and search for the latest Key of David episode hosted by my father. So Barack Obama, I'm not sure if this was the outfit that she was wearing last night. I guess I'll find out. Again, I didn't memorize what I just saw there in the cold open. But Barack Obama tweeted out this meme with his, I guess it was his 10-year anniversary, wearing the tan suit. And I mean, there have been stories about this famous suit. I mean, he just looks so amazing. And Obama said, you see there, he writes, how it started, how it's going, 10 years later, and it's still a good look. First Obama, and now you've got Kamala, and she's wearing the tan suit as well. Revolver weighs in. Darren Beatty's website. It says, however, many believe this post goes even deeper than just identity politics. They believe Obama tore off his mask with this post, clearly revealing to the world that once again, he's the one standing behind yet another underqualified, low IQ candidate pulling all the strings. He's signaling to everybody that he's the guy in charge, and he doesn't care if you know it. He's running the show. He's the guy in charge. Now he's being diminished. His power and influence is being diminished. And you've heard that only here or at our website, thetrumpet.com, or in our literature, or in America Under Attack. You don't hear it anywhere else. But still, I mean, this is one coming in the spirit of Antiochus. He can't help himself. I'm running the show. I'm the smooth talker. I'm the brains behind the project. And all we need is an empty suit. And we'll put her forward, we'll put him forward, and we'll continue on with the fundamental transformation of the United States of America. We'll talk about securing the border and then just try to say anything to get back in power or to stay in power. Say anything. Promise anything. Flip-flop away. It's not a big deal. And then if you're hard-pressed, or if they hold your feet to the fire a little bit, just say, hey, okay, but my values, they're consistent. Nothing changes with my value system. Or if you're Tim Walz, well, you know, I didn't misspeak. It was just some bad grammar. I just got the grammar wrong. Okay. We'll play some of these for you a little bit later. First, though, from The Federalist, Kamala Harris spent over a month cloistered away during her campaign for leader of the free world. Think about this. Leader of the free world. And she's hiding. She barely speaks. It's always scripted. You know what would have made the interview last night better? 27 minutes, by the way. That's it. 27 minutes. And then they're moving on to another scripted event. Getting all the questions ahead of time. She had the canned response for every single one. But what they should have done is had the phones, you know, Dana Bash on the phone, Tim Walz, and then Kamala. The scripted phone calls, those are always enjoyable to watch. That's the only thing that maybe would have made it better. She's campaigning. I mean, we'll play along. The puppet master really is the one behind the scenes, but she's campaigning to be leader of the free world. And she's carefully, meticulously avoiding any contact with the supposed free press. Can't make this up. It says, finally sitting for a controlled pre-recorded interview Thursday. It says, and at her side, like a chaperone, was vice presidential candidate Tim Walz. We did learn some new things in the brief interview that was punctuated by several commercial breaks and slick cutaways showing the duo on the campaign trail in Georgia. So CNN, I mean, they milked it for everything that they could. Even still, though, like Jesse said, they're the lowest rated network. They arranged for the sit down on the same night college football, the season kicks off. So they're just trying to bury it. Just trying to get it over with. I mean, she made a promise, so we'll follow through on that promise. We now know Kamala Harris makes her own bacon on Sunday mornings. That's what she's doing. That's what she was doing when President Joe Biden called to tell her that he was dropping out of the race. She grows her own hot peppers at home, too. And she was deeply touched and humbled by a photo taken at the Democratic convention that showed her speaking at the big podium while her young grandniece looked on in the foreground. So not exactly a hard-hitting interview. I guess you have to give Bash a little bit of credit. At least she asked about some of these lies. She asked about the border policies. Why didn't you put these in place 3.5 years ago? At least she asked about flip-flopping on fracking. Listen to this from her first interview. I think it took her 39 days for this. Clip one.
If you are elected, what would you do on day one in the White House?
Well, there are a number of things. I will tell you, first and foremost, one of my highest priorities is to do what we can to support and strengthen the middle class. I think, sadly, in the last decade, we have had in the former president someone who has really been pushing an agenda and an environment that is about diminishing the character and the strength of who we are as Americans, really dividing our nation. And I think people are ready to turn the page on that.
So what would you do day one?
Day one, it's going to be about, one, implementing my plan for what I call an opportunity economy.
It's all Trump. And we're, you know, she kind of walked the fine line. You got to separate yourself from Biden's unpopular policies and yet praise Biden as one of the greats ever. He should be on Mount Rushmore. How do you even do that? I mean, really. And then, of course, any chance you get, you blame Trump. Trump, like you heard in the cold open, Trump is the reason for the wide open border. He's the one standing in the way of border security. Not Joe Obama, who's been in control for the past 3.5 years. Certainly not. Play this one from Kamala last night, too. Number two.
You talked about, you call it the opportunity economy. You are well aware that right now many Americans are struggling. There's a crisis of affordability.
Yeah.
One of your campaign themes is we're not going back. But I wonder what you say to voters who do want to go back when it comes to the economy specifically, because their groceries were less expensive, housing was more affordable when Donald Trump was president.
Well, let's start with the fact that when Joe Biden and I came in office, during the height of a pandemic, we saw over 10 million jobs were lost. Literally, we were all tracking the numbers. Hundreds of people a day were dying because of COVID. The economy had crashed. In large part, all of that because of mismanagement by Donald Trump of that crisis. When we came in, our highest priority was to do what we could to rescue America. And today, we know that we have inflation at under 3%. A lot of our policies have led to the reality that America recovered faster than any wealthy nation around the world. But you are right. prices, in particular for groceries, are still too high. The American people know it, I know it. Which is why my agenda includes what we need to do to bring down the price of groceries. For example, dealing with an issue like price gouging.
Back onto the price gouging, price controls. She brought that up, I think, a couple weeks ago, and then kind of quietly set it aside because even her own party called her out on that. It's communism. It never works. It leads to food shortages. Donald Trump, he had a town hall. That's what you saw part of it there in the cold open. But let me see if I can find the clip where he talks about the economy. I think it's number 18.
Kamala Harris's plan that she has announced is government price controls. And I think it's important to touch on, you just laid out your plan. What's going to happen if Kamala Harris institutes price controls?
So that's a communist plan. It's never worked. And it's been tried by others. Believe it or not, Richard Nixon tried it. A lot of people tried it. It's been tried many times, and it always leads to the same failure. Tremendous inflation, lack of product. You don't have anything. The stores are not stocked. It has never worked. It's called control. They want control. And, it's been so often. And everybody that comes in, they say it. It sort of sounds great. We're going to go price control. Actually, when she announced it, she got absolutely slaughtered by even Democrats because it doesn't work. It's a known loser.
It's amazing how, just as an aside, how well informed he is. And knowing a little bit about history, throwing that little factoid out about Nixon. Doesn't work. It doesn't work. And here's why. The fracking exchange was enjoyable. I'm starting to lose interest in the Kamala soundbite, so I'll see how many more we can work our way through. But we'll show you a little bit because Jesse's right. They quietly got it out of the way. They put it on the low-rated network. They do it when, college football season kicks off. And they hope that no one notices. They don't need her out front. They need her in the basement. They just need the empty suit. And for his part, the dear leader, he tweets out, hey, the suit looks great. The tan suit, it still looks good after all these years. I think there probably is. I think there probably is a double meaning there. I think Revolver probably is right about that. The dear leader, he can't help himself. He's been running the show, and he's proud of it. They've thrown the mask aside. This is clip 4.
When you were in Congress, you supported the Green New Deal. And in 2019, you said, quote, there is no question I'm in favor of banning fracking. Fracking, as you know, is a pretty big issue, particularly in your must-win state of Pennsylvania.
Sure.
Do you still want to ban fracking?
No, and I made that clear on the debate stage in 2020, that I would not ban fracking. As vice president, I did not ban fracking. As president, I will not ban fracking.
In 2019, I believe, at a town hall, you said, you were asked, would you commit to implementing a federal ban on fracking on your first day in office? And you said, there's no question I'm in favor of banning fracking. So yes. So it changed in that campaign?
In 2020, I made very clear where I stand. We are in 2024, and I've not changed that position, nor will I going forward. I kept my word, and I will keep my word.
What made you change that position at the time?
Well, let's be clear. My values have not changed. I believe it is very important that we take seriously what we must do to guard against what is a clear crisis in terms of the climate. And to do that, we can do what we have accomplished thus far. The Inflation Reduction Act, what we have done to invest, by my calculation, probably $1 trillion over the next 10 years, investing in a clean energy economy. What we've already done, creating over 300,000 new clean energy jobs. That tells me, from my experience as vice president, we can do it without banning fracking. In fact, Dana, I cast the tie-breaking vote that actually increased leases for fracking as vice president. So I'm very clear about where I stand.
And was there some policy or scientific data that you saw that you said, oh, okay, I get it now?
what I have seen is that we can grow and we can increase a thriving clean energy economy without banning fracking.
There you go. Why'd you flip-flop? My favorite part there, it was right in the middle. I kept my word, and I will keep my word. And then Bash says, what made you change that position? which word are you keeping? I've kept my word. I couldn't be more clear. This is my position. It was tailor-made for the election cycle. That's all. That's all. Same with securing the border. I mean, in some cases, they can't help themselves. She's still on the price controls thing, which is obviously communist. But the other policies that they've cherry-picked from the Trump campaign, as I've covered earlier this week. Because they know. They know. Donald Trump, I don't know how long his town hall went last night with Tulsi Gabbard, but like he said last night, why isn't she doing something live? Why is CNN having to carefully package everything for her? Why would CNN submit the questions ahead of time? Why does she have to go with Tim Walz? It's all part of what you know to be the fakery, the phoniness, the narrative. She's got to come out and say something. I mean, she's campaigning to be leader of the free world, after all. But it's all got to be carefully controlled by the man who made the tan suit famous. That's right. So obvious. My father, again. That's basically where this book begins, with the man in the tan suit. It's great to see this getting more publicity this coming weekend on the Key of David program. As I say, it's a must-watch, that particular episode. But if you don't have America Under Attack, make sure you call our operators today and request your free copy, the 800 number, 1-866-930-3024. All the literature that we offer is offered without cost or obligation. This is from Fox News. It says, in 2008, when Barack Obama was running for president, he flat out lied about opposing gay marriage based on his deep Christian beliefs. We know this because a book published in 2015, former senior advisor to the president, David Axelrod, described Obama after such a speech complaining to him, I'm just not very good at, well, it's a profane word. It means lying. I'm just not very good at lying. It turns out he actually was pretty good at it. Today, the American people have to ask themselves how good Vice President Kamala Harris is at the BS, it says, or the lying, as she seeks to transform herself from a San Francisco progressive into a blue dog centrist Democrat. I mean, that's what's going on here. She's just a blue dog Democrat. She's old style Democrat. She's appeal to the moderates Democrat. Victor Davis Hanson made a similar point. I went through those 15 rules, or at least some of them. Rules for radicals. How you can refashion her into something she's not, but then just lie about it. It says here, now Obama had an advantage here. It was mostly only the gay marriage issue where his pretend conservatism seemed completely out of whack with his history as a progressive community organizer. Well, I would suggest that there were quite a few more lies, whoppers of lies that he told just to try to get in, to try to, at the very least, you had the regime media leading up to the Obama years just completely covering for him, just erasing Jeremiah Wright and all of these other shady connections with radicals, with extremists, with American haters, haters of America's institutions. Domestic terrorists, in the case of Bill Ayers. But Chris Matthews and all the rest, they did their part to say, hey, he's just a blue dog Democrat. He appeals to the moderates. It says here, if you have been following them as they go by, Harris has flip-flopped on building a wall, fracking, Medicare for all, reimagining the police, and banning gas-powered vehicles. So far, from what we know, she has not officially registered as a Republican. Voters, especially Republicans and independents, are naturally a bit suspicious about whether Harris really believes any of these things after a decades-long political career of opposing them. What does she really believe? Fox News is asking. It's hard to tell because she avoids these kinds of exchanges, like what you saw on CNN last night, or probably didn't see, if we're honest. You probably didn't see it. I didn't see it. I didn't see it. I didn't watch it. I waited until the clips this morning. This is still Bash and Harris, clip six.
Just one other question about something that you said in 2019 when you first ran. There was a debate. You raised your hand when asked whether or not the border should be decriminalized. Do you still believe that?
I believe there should be consequence. We have laws that have to be followed and enforced that address and deal with people who cross our border illegally, and there should be consequence. And let's be clear, in this race, I'm the only person who has prosecuted transnational criminal organizations who traffic in guns, drugs, and human beings. I'm the only person in this race who actually served a border state as Attorney General to enforce our laws, and I would enforce our laws as president going forward. I recognize the problem.
There you go. She's tough on border security. I mean, she really wants to clamp down, says the border czar, the vice president of the current administration, albeit a fake one. But still, she's had power. Joe Biden has had power to do something. The dear leader, he could have pulled the strings. They want this. This is crucial to them winning elections in the future. They are recruiting Democrat voters and a lot of criminals to go with it. I mean, look at all these gangs, as President Trump noted in the town hall. They're taking over bus stops. They're taking over apartment buildings. How is this possible? And for those that would justify the crime, saying that, well, proportionally, it's about the same as just garden variety crime within the United States, you know, brought on by American citizens. Well, how is any of it allowed to be invited in? Look at how difficult it is to just go through normal channels. I mean, we know something about this just with the students we have coming in from overseas. I mean, you have to put all of your ducks in a row. You have to have the paperwork. You have to hire attorneys in some cases, just to get you into the United States so that you could go to school here for 2 or 4 years. Meanwhile, I mean, they're just emptying the prisons in Venezuela. But repeat after me, as I said yesterday, there is no migrant crime wave. There is no migrant crime wave. Listen again to Kamala from last night. This is clip seven.
Generally speaking, how should voters look at some of the changes that you've made, that you've explained some of here in your policy? Is it because you have more experience now and you've learned more about the information? Is it because you were running for president in a Democratic primary? And should they feel comfortable and confident that what you're saying now is going to be your policy moving forward?
Dana, I think the most important and most significant aspect of my policy perspective and decisions is my values have not changed. You mentioned the Green New Deal. I have always believed, and I have worked on it, that the climate crisis is real, that it is an urgent matter to which we should apply metrics that include holding ourselves to deadlines around time. We did that with the Inflation Reduction Act. We have set goals for the United States of America and, by extension, the globe, around when we should meet certain standards for reduction of greenhouse gas emissions, as an example. That value has not changed. My value around what we need to do to secure our border, that value has not changed. I spent two terms as the Attorney General of California prosecuting transnational criminal organizations, violations of American laws regarding the passage, illegal passage of guns, drugs, and human beings across our border. My values have not changed.
The woman's flip-flopping, flip-flopping like a fish out of water, and then saying her values have just remained consistent the whole time, right in the middle again, the favorite bit. We should apply metrics that include holding ourselves to deadlines around time. What? Surely there's a simpler way to convey the fact that you want to try to be deadline-driven. But the values, they've been changing, ever-changing. That's right. And there she is trying to explain why she's flopped on so many of these issues. I mean, and notice, too, Dana Bash, for her part, I mean, half of that clip you just saw there, half of it was the reporter. And she's saying, you know, why have you flip-flopped? Why have you changed so many of your policies? Is it because of this? Or maybe it's because of this? Or is it because of this over here? She's totally coaching her. She's totally giving her the answers. It's like a multiple choice. And then she gets to choose. I mean, you couldn't make it any easier. For this one, even when you're asking what could be a pretty tough question. No. I've got the quote from 2019. You promised to ban fracking. And now you say you're promising to keep it open all the time. And that you're telling the truth. And that you're going to keep your word. If only we had a responsible press corps. If only we had responsible, objective, honest journalists leading the way. As it is, just like I covered yesterday, you know how this played down. I mean, they got a list of demands. I mean, chop it up into small bits. Make sure that, you know, it's pre-recorded. We got to see the questions in advance. I got to bring along the babysitter. And then we might do it with your organization. If it's Dana Bash, she's really good. We like Dana Bash. It's all a fraud. And now we'll see when she sits down for the next one. I mean, what are there just 70 days left? And it took her 40 days almost to do this? That's not, I mean, in the name of, remember how Obama, the dear leader, used to talk about transparency? And he actually led the most opaque, he led the most opaque administration probably in history. Even when he came out, you know, the smooth sounding one, he came out and directed those press conferences. Again, very carefully. You got to ask just the people who've been approved, the people the regime has approved. That's how it worked. And Joe Biden has followed it. Trump, for his part, you may not like a lot of what he says, but how does he just show up? I mean, that whole thing last night, that was totally not scripted. I mean, he uses a teleprompter here and there, but he will show up, and then he knows the issues. I mean, he knows a fair bit about price controls and what that leads to. He knows what's happening at the border. He knows it's out of control spending on the part of the government that's running inflation sky high. He knows this. He had that one statement last night, President Trump, that is, just talking about or imagining, you know, this woman, the one you've just seen here, sitting across the table from Kim Jong-un or President Xi of China. This is clip 16.
But with her, she wants to have, it's really a communist type of government. And I just saw her, Tulsi, she was sitting behind a desk doing this interview. And I said, Dana Bash, you could make yourself big tonight. All you have to do is be fair. I haven't seen the questions, but they gave out a sample. In fact, she's going to be on later on tonight with a taped. It was a taped. We're doing it live. Why are we doing it live and she's doing it taped? But But
that's right. He's real.
But she was sitting behind that desk, this massive desk, and she didn't look like a leader to me, I'll be honest. I don't see her negotiating with President Xi of China. I don't see her with Kim Jong-un like we did.
He's right. He's right. This Fox News piece about Obama's lying. Listen to this. It says, the funny thing about Obama's weird stance against gay marriage, on which he suddenly evolved in office, is that nobody, especially Democrats, really believed it. I will never forget conversation after conversation with loyal Obama acolytes in which they said, he doesn't really think that. He just has to say it to get elected. He just has to say it to get elected. That's what you need to keep in mind. If you do take the time to watch the lowest rated cable station, news cable station, and a sit down with Kamala, just know these people are willing to say anything in order to get elected. Isn't that amazing? I mean, for 4 years, they had the lies tracker almost right up there with the COVID tracker, the deaths from COVID in 2020. In fact, they should have had that on a split screen. COVID deaths, bottom right corner, and then bottom left corner, Trump lies. Trump lied 28 times today. Trump lied 100 times this week. Where are the fact checkers? I mean, Dana Bash just casually mentioned several, but then, you know, quickly dusted off and moved on. And then Kamala, for her part, she's able to just brush it aside by saying, hey, listen, it doesn't matter what I did in 2019 and doesn't matter what I'm doing in 2024. My values, what does that even mean? My values have been consistent. My values have always been the same. It, like I said yesterday, it makes you appreciate the purity and just the directness of God's holy, inspired word, what you find in the Holy Bible. We'll talk more about that when we come back. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
Daily news, Bible prophecy. See the connection on The Trumpet Daily. Are you feeling overwhelmed by the flood of news and information? You need something to sift the news and bring you only what matters most. You need The Trumpet Daily. You also need something to help you understand not just what's happening now, but what will happen next. You need The Trumpet Daily. Only The Trumpet Daily accurately matches daily news to precise Bible prophecies. Because Bible prophecy is the only tool up to the task of sifting the news down to what's important and showing you what will happen next. Join host Stephen Fleury every weekday. Go to trumpetdaily.com.
The European Union faced more illegal immigration in 2023 than it has in any year since 2016, according to an August 21st report from Germany's Federal Criminal Police Office. The number of unauthorized crossings through the external borders of the Schengen passport-free zone rose from 326,300 to 380,200. Germany was the top destination, recording a 33.4% increase in attempts to cross illegally compared to 2022. Most of these illegal immigrants were from Syria, Turkey, and Afghanistan. A new migrant crisis would be detrimental to Europe, increasing crime and national debt, causing housing shortages, and fueling resentment among established populations. If illegal immigration continues to worsen, European voters may respond by empowering radical leaders. To learn more about how the immigration crisis in Europe could contribute to the rise of a powerful and authoritarian leader, read A Strong German Leader is Imminent. For the first time ever, a Chinese military plane breached Japan's airspace on August 26th. The Y-9 military surveillance aircraft entered Japanese airspace near Nagasaki around 11:30 a.m. and remained for 2 minutes. The provocation prompted Japan's self-defense force to put fighter jets on high alert and warn China's plane. Though this is the first time China has entered Japanese territory with a military plane, it has done so many times with non-military aircraft. Last year, Japan had to scramble jets to intercept foreign planes 669 times, and 479 were Chinese. China claims ownership of a vast continental shelf, the outer cusp of which extends near the Danzhou Islands, close to the spot where the Chinese military plane was seen. The Bible prophesies that China will be a major world power in this end time, rising even as America's dominance falls. Bible prophecy warns that China will play a major role in World War III. To learn more about where China's belligerence against even its own close neighbors will lead, read China is steering the world toward war. Russia fired more than 320 missiles and drones at Ukrainian cities from the evening of August 26th into August 27th, its largest air attack on Ukraine since the war began. The strikes on civilian targets in Kiev and other cities killed at least 8 people and injured dozens more. Ukrainian officials say they could prevent many such attacks if the U.S. and Europe gave them permission to use their weapons to strike missile and drone launch sites inside Russia. U.S. officials and some European ones say the weapons they provide Ukraine can only be used to strike Russian military targets within occupied parts of Ukraine. This allows Russia to fire with near impunity from just across the border. This week's massive attack indicates that Russian President Vladimir Putin remains fiercely determined to conquer Ukraine. Whatever the outcome of this conflict, Bible prophecy shows that Putin will eventually lead a vast Asian army that will fight much larger wars. To learn more about this and related prophecies, read The Prophesied Prince of Russia. To learn more about current world news and how it relates to Bible prophecy, please visit thetrumpet.com.
There's your weekly installment of World Watch, or the Friday installment of World Watch. Just saw this during the break, Elon Musk tweeting out, please note that this is an actual statement from Kamala. And he quotes her from 2017 when she said, an undocumented immigrant is not a criminal. Yeah, they can come across illegally, but they're not a criminal. Let them in. That's what she said in 2017. What does she say today? Hey, I'm tough on crime coming in through the border. I'm tough on border security. Oh, yes. Much more so than Donald Trump. Nothing but words. Just empty words. That's all it is. Yesterday, I talked about the purity and the substance of God's words. God says all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. I mean, you don't have to hear someone talking these vague, nice-sounding terms, values. You can actually get to some real meat, some concrete thoughts and admonitions from God Himself by just looking at words. I rattled off a few in class this morning. Just think about what the term disciple of Christ, to take the term disciple, what does that mean to be a pupil, to be a student, to be a disciple of Jesus? Just in terms of, you know, the way you live your life, the way you obey God's laws, or just the respect you have for the law of God. There's plenty of people, even in the world of religion, that just totally throw it out the window. Why would you do that if you're a disciple of Christ? If you're a Christian, I mean, think about that name for a second. A Christian is a follower of Christ. So what does it mean to follow Christ? God calls us. He calls his people in the Bible. Among other things, he calls us saints, righteous. He says we're righteous. I mean, if you're like me, you probably don't feel that way all the time. I mean, none of us want to be self-righteous. But just for God to use the, he calls our children, the children of converted parents, he calls them holy in 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 14. Just the fact that God would call us that. He said about Abraham in Galatians 3 that his faith made him righteous. So what does that mean? His faith was mixed with works, as James said in James 2. Of course, God's interested in his works of righteousness in us. So it gives us some insight. Just those names, just those few names, it gives us some insight into God's purpose, his plan. What is he setting out to do? What is he reproducing? What is he creating? We call God a creator. What is he creating in true Christians? Well, that would be his character. He's reproducing his way of life, his character, his nature. He's reproducing himself through us, through human beings, through family. People get sidetracked onto vague, meaningless terms, and it takes the substance right out of your study of God's Word. It takes the substance right out of the truth of God. It takes the substance out of religion. As I was saying this morning in our study of Galatians, if you, like Martin Luther, he loved Galatians because he thought that book, you know, does away with God's law. Just throw it, chucks the law of God out the window. So Luther said, I love Galatians. I am married to Galatians. I am wedded to the book of Galatians. He didn't have that kind of nice sentiment for the book of James, where it talks about faith without works being dead. He didn't like that message. He called the epistle of James an epistle of straw, but he loved Galatians. You see how people just pick and choose what they want to believe, what they want to follow. But look, if we're followers of Christ, if we're disciples of Christ, we've got to look at his whole life. We've got to look at his entire message. And then if we're a disciple of that, well, you see it. Then you begin to look at yourself and say, over here, I'm not measuring up. In this area of obedience, I'm falling short. I better get my act together. I better follow in the steps of Jesus Christ. And that's the admonition that Jesus gave his disciples. Follow me. I'll show you how to get there. I'm the way. I'll lead you right to God the Father. That's John 14 and verse 6. Yesterday I went through some of the Proverbs in chapter 23 about just giving your heart to God and doing it wholeheartedly. Don't be like Lot's wife. Jesus said, remember that example. She doubted. God miraculously intervened to save them from a city that was about to be torched. It was about to go up in flames. And so she left Sodom, but she did it half-heartedly. And she turned around and longingly gazed at her hometown, the people of her hometown. And in her heart, she wanted to go back. And God turned her into a pillar of salt. He wants us to make a clean, decisive break from our sinful past, from the way of this world, and to just follow in the steps of Christ, to do so in faith, not by our own human faith in Christ. I mean, there's some of that as the process begins. Galatians 2:16 bears that out. But then you keep reading and you see Galatians 2:20. You read about the faith of Christ. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, yet Yet nevertheless, I live, but it's not me. It's Christ in me. Now think on that for a moment. If Christ is living in you, how would you expect that he intends to live? Well, look at his earthly ministry. Look at the way he lived. He didn't make one mistake. He was a perfect sacrifice. He lived by the will of God perfectly. Proverbs 23:26, God says, "My son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. Look to me. Look to me and give me your heart. Make sure it's obedience and reverence and worship from within." In verse 4, I read this yesterday too. "Labor not to be rich. Cease from your own wisdom. For as he thinks in his heart," this is verse 7, "so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to you, but his heart is not with you." As he thinks in his heart, so is he. So, as I mentioned yesterday, Matthew 12, 34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And when you hear some of the leaders of this world speak, it's kind of sobering, somewhat terrifying, in fact, when you think about the kinds of people. To use that example from the Fox News story, you know, for Obama to just get up and lie about it to get elected. And everyone knew he was lying. His acolytes, they knew he was lying just to try to get elected. Just say what you need to say. That's the way of this world. That's human reasoning. But when you come together with God, when you reason together with God, I mean, everything changes. You come in to, I mean, as you approach baptism in God's church and understand what Galatians 2 and verse 20 is really saying, you are acknowledging that you're no longer running your show. Jesus is your head. Jesus is your master. Jesus is leading you. And you're humbly willing to follow along, to support him, to carry out his will as he points you in the direction of the Father. Notice Psalm 1 and verse 1. It says here, "Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." But, verse 2 says, "But his delight is in the law of the Eternal, and in his law does he meditate day and night." Here is a true Christian, a follower of Christ, meditating on the law of God day and night, putting his heart into his reverential worship of God. Psalm 15, verse 2, it says, "He that walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart." It all starts in the mind, doesn't it? True conversion. Attitude is so important. And just coming back to this Psalm 1, we'll read verse 3 now. It says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." If your heart is set on God's way, his more excellent way, if your heart is set on the law of God, which Paul said was holy and just and pure, then your ways of life will prosper. Everything that you do will prosper. I mean, that's not God exaggerating. That's the truth. Blessed are you if you obey. God will shower us with blessing upon blessing if we just turn to him. If we turn to him, if we look to him, if we fix our gaze upon him, if we pour our heart into his work and plan and purpose, it's true. It's true. We will be blessed. Blessed fabulously. That's all that we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show. Hey, thanks for joining us all week in some cases. We'll see you next time.